Today, I want to talk about, from this concept, am I believable? Am I believable? Well, it sits perfectly on Pinocchio, right? Because Pinocchio had a little trouble being believable, right? Now, follow me in this logic. If God is believable, then we should be believable as well. Amen. Right? If God is believable, then we should be believable as well. Say that with me. If God is believable, then we should be believable as well. After all, we represent Him, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. So, we all believe God, right? We believe. And so we should be able, if we represent God, then we should be able to be believed as well. Now, if you think this week, how many things you said or did were actually believable? Bless you. Well, one way, listen to this carefully. One way we can tell if people are believable is by their gifts. I can tell if someone is believable based on the gift they gave me, or the way they gave me the gift, or the type of gift they gave me. Isn't that true? Okay. So that's just one way that we can kind of, and I'm going to focus on that one way in being believable. And why does that matter? Because we are supposed to be Christians in the world who are giving love. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if we're living from day to day, we are living giving. But our giving is to hopefully help people believe in God. But if our living isn't believable, then no one gets to God. So how are you giving that equates to whether or not you are believable? Okay, so I've at least created an interest for you. I'll need to explain it. Of course, I do. So, gifts and relationships. Let's talk about that. Gifts and relationships. Complicated? Oh, sure. Getting a gift for somebody you love is sometimes complicated, right? Getting a gift for somebody who has everything is complicated, right? Are you guys cold? Or are you good? Or it's fine? All right. All right. So I want you to get in your mind right now. I want you to get in your mind right now a gift you would give to God right now if you had the opportunity. Right now, what would you give him? If God walked in this room right now, what would you give him? Don't blurt it out. Just get it in your mind. And I wonder what your gift would say, though, about your love for him. Because remember, your gift has to be believable. And believability is based on love. You follow where I'm going? So it is not just that you give a gift to somebody. What do people say all the time? They say, you can get a gift, a small gift from somebody, but you know it was given in love. It means the world.
Yeah.
You can get a big gift from somebody you know doesn't care about it. You'd be like, you don't even love me anyway. You know, you're going to use it, you're going to drive it, but but it doesn't do anything for your relationship. In fact, if anything, it makes you feel more obligated. That's why people don't take expensive gifts from people they don't love, because they know it obligates them. But I will take a gift from somebody I love because we know that it's okay. It's no strings attached. I don't have to do anything for you. So I'm wondering, if we gave a gift to God, would we be given a gift to God to say, if I give him a big gift, I'm going to get something back? The gift says a lot about the person who's giving it. It says a lot about whether they're going to be able to believe it or whether or not you're able to even love them. All right? So let's get a little bit deeper into this. Let me explain what a relationship is. So talk about gifts and relationships. So gifts, as they relate to relationships, are complicated. It doesn't mean it, a gift, giving a gift to a stranger, there's nothing with it. But I guarantee you, in a relationship, a gift means something. If I just all of a sudden gave Brother Kane $100, now he might say, now I wonder why he gave me $100, right? He would wonder why I'm doing that. Why? Because we have relationship. And so he would begin to think, well, what did I do for Pastor Jerry? Is it my birthday? Or what is happening in our relationship that means, right? Because we give gifts when? Most of the time we give gifts to other people when? Birthday. Special things, birthdays, holidays, things like that. So if I gave it outside of birthday, holiday, it makes me question, are you understanding that the gift has something related to my believability? So a relationship is, watch this, a relationship is you give, I give. Okay, watch this. Watch how I build this. So you give, I give. That makes us a relationship, right? You say hi, I say hi, right? So that makes the relationship, you ante up, I'm ante up. If my buddy, Charles probably won't do it to me, but let's say he buys me a Rolex, but we buddies. I'm not going to get him a Mickey Mouse watch next time, right? Our relationship is on Rolex level. So I need to at least do Rolex or better, right? I'm trying to get you to see that relationships are based on even a husband and wife. Well, what did you get me last year? Let's see. Well, I can't get that. So my gifts are relative to my previous gifts as well. Yeah. You don't give people the same thing every year all the time, right? Nope. So based on the change, you change, right? So you splurge, I splurge. Well, last time we went to McDonald's. This time I'm taking you to Denny's. That's an upgrade a little bit. Just a little bit. At least we get to sit down. At least we get to sit down a little bit, right? That's relationship. That's fair, right? You talk. What do you expect from the other person? Listen. Just talk. Listen, and then they talk, right? You talk, I talk. This is what I'm trying to get you. Relationship means it goes back and forth. You kiss me. What do they say? Well, kiss me back. Right? I hope you said you should be kissing, the smooching to get it back and forth. I got to be in it too, right? So it is, listen, this is corny, but I'm going to say it. Kiwana's not going to like it, but because they always get me on my stories and stuff. So relationship is a relay of ships passing to each other goods. Relay of ships, relationship, corny, right? But it is a relay of ships passing goods to each other. Come on now, there's a little bit. Let's see, Mike. That's corny, but Mike, I got one. They got two right here. All right. So, now watch this. A relay, though, relay is about receiving something and then passing it on. When you do a relay, who's any track runners in here? Okay, we got to cut. All right. So a relay is you got one who's in motion, and you're going to pass a baton. They take it. And they do something with it. So when you talk about relationship, you're relaying. In other words, when you get something, you pass it on. You tracking? Yes. So the relationship is two or more things that are connected in some way. And what are they connected by? By the goods that they share between each other. Okay. So how do I gauge how well we're doing in the relationship? I can gauge whether or not when you say you love me, by the things you do and how you give to me, right? If you only give me spearmint pack of gum and say, I love you, honey, and that's the extent of your love for me, I'm questioning how deep is your love? How deep is your love? Your love, your love. All right. So we don't want, so relationships are connections between two based on our exchanges. I'm never going to have a relationship if I never go up there and say nothing to her. How many of you saw Hitch when he goes to meet her in the bar and the guy is trying to woof at the girl and she's like paying him no attention, but Will Smith, the Hitch, he does it and gets her attention? Right. He began the exchange. She rejected the other guy's exchange. So relationship, what? Began between those two based on the way it was. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. So I want you to understand that this can be complicated and it can have various forms or elements to it that create some difficulty. So the relate aspect of relationship is really the root of relate. Relationship is how we relate, the thing that connects people and things together. So can God, if you gave a gift to God, hold your answer before you do it now, pay attention. Can God believe your gift? If you gave it, can he believe it? So in other words, am I believable in life every day? Can I be believed? Is my giving with a purpose? Because, you know, again, just like I said, he wants to know why I gave it. What's the purpose? Do you give with intention? Or are you giving just because Pastor Cherry said, give something to God? Okay. Can I go further?
Yeah.
Okay. Often the tug of wars of life are about giving, right? You get into a tug of war because what? Somebody didn't get what they were expecting. We start fighting when you don't do what you said you were going to do. Summer, you said you were going to pick me up at 2:00. You didn't come. I have a problem with you because you said you're going to be there too, right? So a tug of war begins based on people not getting what they expect. So what if, watch this, what if the gift you gave to God was not what he was expecting, even though you're giving it thinking that it's the right thing to give? Oh, it's getting complicated. I may have intended to do the right thing. How many times have you intended to do the right thing and people took it the wrong? Lord, I was just giving you a friendship ring. You took it as, you thought it was an engagement ring. Wait a second. We just co-workers, honey. Right? Or if you don't even think it's engagement, you think that friendship means, oh, that means something. That means something. Anything about it. In other words, you taking it. So I could feel some kind of way based on, watch, I've done this, Sasha, I've done this work for so long, I should get a particular bonus. I have an expectation. Now, is the gift, don't answer, is the gift wrong or is my expectation wrong? It's getting complicated. PC, help us here. Someone didn't believe that how I gave it is really what it was intended for. I did this for this. Okay. And some people will say, okay, but in the back of their mind, they're thinking, this means something else, this, right? So it gets a little complicated. So let's talk about doubt. Is there anyone here? Let's flip it. Let's not look at you giving to God. Let's flip it. Is there anyone here that doubts that God loves him? Nobody here doubts that God loves him. Oh, this is about to, I'm getting ready to get excited. Watch this. Nobody doubts. In other words, his actions or his love to us is believable. And whatever it is he's given us, we're expecting it, or it's fine with our expectations. It's whatever it is we need. It's good. In other words, it's perfect. It's good. In other words, whatever it is he has done for us, it's believable. Again, if we switched it back towards him, we might have some issues. And why would we have issues? Because God is perfect and we are not. Why don't we doubt his love for us? How did he show us his love?
He shows us his love by his grace.
Okay, by his grace. We don't doubt because of the extravagance of his love. And we can say we know he loves us. What's the thing that he did for us? Okay, he sent his son. He didn't send a gift certificate. He didn't send a notice and just in the Bible and just said, well, I'm just going to send a little message to the people. I love you. He has demonstrated his love for us by sending his own son. He has sent his son. In other words, he has sent the most extravagant, biggest, best thing possible to us. Would your gift, again, don't say an answer. Would your gift to him be the biggest, best, most extravagant, closest thing to your heart? Okay, you have to think about it. We know he loves us by the gift he gave us. That makes it believable. What's our biggest story? Well, I know he loves us because he sent his only son, died on the cross for me, bore my sins, and took all my sorrows. From that gift, what? We believe. When we accept Jesus based on believing in him, what's the story we believe? That Jesus came and died and rose again for our salvation. That's what makes us believe. His gift makes us to believe. Are you believable? It's my question. The gifts you're giving each week, are you believable? Are the things you're doing from the core place of love or obligation or expectation or because you're supposed to? You married, you have to, or you the boss, you got to, you a child, you got to take out this trash. Mom said take out the trash. Or are you taking out the trash because you love your family enough to do so? What if our gifts to others are what make our lives believable? What if God said, the only way I'm going to believe that you say you love me, what if God said, the only way I'm going to believe, because if you might say, how many of you love God? Okay. She said, ask for everybody. She said, all of us. All right. Everybody. All right. So what if he said, the only way I'm going to believe that you love me or not is I'm going to judge your gifts. But when I ask you, do you question his love for you? Y'all was like, no, they ain't got, no, there's no doubt in my mind. Why? Because he took time to give the right gift. I'd rather you give one right gift than 12 wrong ones. I'm trying to get you to see that you might be living your life exhausted, stressed out, to the hilt, because you're doing what you think you ought to be doing for other people, and it's not registering any more belief on their part, but it's wearing your butt out.
Amen.
Why not evaluate the gift you're giving to people and give it right? If you're going to be married, be a husband, be a wife, and be married right.
Amen.
Give it right. Instead of having to break it, fix it, break it, fix it, break it, fix it, break it, fix it, break it, fix it. And all you're trying to do the whole time is trying to get her to love you or him to love you. You're trying to figure it out. But if you do it right, I know you love me. Why? Because of the gifts you give me. What's that gift? Respect, love, faithfulness, timeliness, care, and yes, a Mercedes and a diamond ring. Yes, includes that too. I'm not talking about just a marriage, a boss. If you're going to lead, lead with ethics, lead with care, lead with respect, Honor your employees.
Amen.
Do right. Don't yell at them. Don't cuss them out. Let them go. Put them on a program. Probation them. That's love. Love is sending your kid to the room. You on time out. Love is not letting them go to the party. Sometimes love is, God, you get the, come on, you get the picture, right? If you do it right. If I told you that God evaluates your love for him based on your gifts, you would evaluate your gifts right now, right?
Amen.
The point is, when you're going to buy a gift for somebody, you think about them. You think about the person. So my gift is relative to who I'm giving it to.
Right.
So why would you give something really cheap to someone you really love? Because the gift should reflect our relationship. Oh, see, I'm going somewhere. I'm getting close to it. So when you give me a cheap gift, you're really telling me you have cheap love. Our goal in loving people is to help them believe. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So they can experience the same love we experience, right?
Yes.
If I love other people right, then they're going to love me back in kind, and we're going to love each other, and from that love, they will see the love of God. So we want people to believe. What do you want your family to do?
Believe.
What do you want your coworkers to do?
Believe.
What do you want your children to do?
Believe.
What do you want your husband to do?
Believe.
Your boyfriend.
Believe.
Your girlfriend.
Believe.
You want them to believe. As I went to boyfriend, girlfriend, believe got smaller and smaller. But as I stayed on family and all that, it was like, believe, believe, right? Yeah, I see where y'all are. Uh-huh, yeah, the associate says, I know. You want them to believe. But what if their belief is contingent upon how you give? In other words, they'll believe if you give the right gift. All right, so what does the text say? Let me get you some text. Let's start together. Let's start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no question that God loves us, right?
Right.
Based on the text right here, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in us shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you out there in the world giving your life, your only begotten anything? Why? With so that they will believe and not perish, but have everlasting. When you live like this, there is no question.
Amen.
That you love. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Versus, oh yeah, I'm just gonna give them this little pen because this is like, let me talk about it. 99 cents store. Let me just pick something up. Let me just send this little text over there because I don't want to talk to them really. I just want to send a text over there because I ain't got time to talk. I want to talk. No, they talk too long, and then I ain't got time to, you know, they want me to come over. I ain't got time to go over there, Mama. But I'm just gonna, here what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send a card instead. I'm gonna send a card and just let them know I'm thinking about my love. But I really, what I'm really trying to avoid is really trying to get over there and sitting for 2 hours, you know, and any way I can get around it. Let me just Snapchat them real quick. Let me just put them on Instagram or something. In other words, I'm finding ways to cheapen the relationship. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm finding ways to minimize it. God didn't do that to you.
Why?
He didn't take you to Jack in the Box. He took you to the finest of restaurants. He takes you all the way to the... Why do you, when you want God to do something great for you, do you say, well, Lord, my mama's sick and they're in the hospital, but if you could, just heal the toe. Just heal the toe. You don't ask for just to heal the toe. You say, heal the whole body. And God heals the whole. Why? Because he loves you. When you love somebody, you don't just heal their toe.
Amen.
Stop giving toe blessings. Romans 5:8. Come on, somebody read. I'm going to get you in scripture. Read 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you were the worst.
That's right.
of yourself. He demonstrated. So you're not waiting to give to somebody till they're perfect. Well, when they get their act together, then I'll do something for you. But no, while you are the worst you can be, I will demonstrate my love for you. And how do you do that? By dying for you. In other words, it's got to hurt. It's got to impact you. Giving a gift that doesn't string back to you is not a gift at all. The gift you give has got to impact the life you live. And that's what makes the gift believable. So Romans 5:8, let me give you one more. Ephesians 2:4, read it with me. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us. He's rich in mercy. He didn't say he was cheap in mercy.
Rich in mercy.
He said, come on, somebody say, rich in mercy.
Rich in mercy.
If you're going to marry me, you need to be rich.
In mercy.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. In mercy. Hallelujah. I ain't got the money, but I got the mercy. I ain't got the goods, but I got the grace. Woo! You've got to be able to have something good enough to bring to the relationship that lets me. Listen, the woman don't want the money, really, but what she wants to know is, do you love me? And all she's been taught as a young girl is the size of the ring is an indication of how much he loves. But if we start teaching our women that it's not the size of the gift, it's the intention and the love behind the gift that makes the value of the man, then that woman can marry a blue-collar man who makes $40,000 a year, but he loves me. Because if you love me at $40,000 a year, we'll never not have a roof over our head. We'll never not eat. We'll never not be able to send our kids to school. And to top it off, sister, I got God on my side. Woo! And with God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Come on, somebody. Don't be scared to ask her. Come on. Don't be scared. Can we date? I ain't in no Lamborghini. I ain't driving no Porsche. I remember sometimes you used to have to drive and hide the car around the corner. Woo! I can't show you everything. First, I got to warm you up to that. Because you got to love me by the time you see this bucket. But by that time, you'll know that I love you and I'm not just there for the material. Stop marrying these men and women who make promises. But they don't love you. You don't want the promise. You want the love. Woo! Come on, somebody. Come on. I want the love.
That's right.
All right. One more. Come on. One more. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Wait. One more. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, meaning he put his son in the place of us when we should have been condemned for the sins we did. The father said, I'm going to put my son in your place. I'm going to put him on the cross when it should be you on the cross. I tell people, and I taught this in Song of Solomon, that a real love affair is about finding people with flaws and being able to trust the God in the relationship will help both of us be better people. In other words, I'm not looking for somebody perfect. I'm looking for somebody who I have the specific relational skills to help design specifically to make that person the best person they can be. that the one that I find is the one who I have the gifts and skills to make better. And the one who I find has the gifts and skills to make me better. So it's not just because, watch this, you can get a savior syndrome and you think that you're going to find somebody that you're going to make better. But here's the problem. They don't have the tools to make you better. And so you're the savior in that relationship, always picking up somebody you need to help and somebody you need to rescue, but you never get anything back and you get depleted and you live a frustrated life. The best relationship is finding somebody who's going to give back what you give. Oh, didn't I say in the beginning? A relationship, what? Is a relay of ships passing goods from one to the other. So in a relationship, when I give to God, oh shoot, you messed up. When I give to God, look what God says. Oh, I'm going to give it back. What the scripture say? If I give it, he'll give it pressed down, shaken together, running over in your boy. And what the old song used to say, you can't beat God given, no matter how hard you try. So watch this. If ever I do something for God, God is going to do something for me. And guess what? He's going to do it with the intention. Like I said, if you buy me a Rolex, God say, I got to get a Rolex at least or better. So if you give a cheap gift, then don't expect nothing great. But if you give out of your heart, listen, it's not the actual gift. It's where the heart is when you give it. Even Corinthians said, he who sows little shall reap little, but he who sows abundance shall reap abundance. If you give cheap, you receive cheap. But I dare somebody to die. You said you love him, right? You said you love him. If you're going to love him, you're going to buy some, go pick some wilted flowers out there, and you're going to throw in a little $5 or 50 cents. Just, I ain't got time for that. No, when you love somebody, you think about the gift. You don't come to church and just say, well, I don't know what my offering's going to be. I love God, which means I've already budgeted for God, which means, listen, you know when her birthday is coming. You know when the anniversary is coming. You got to start saving now. You got to put away a little while. Woo! You know she asked for that dress. You know that Tadashi cost some dollars. You know those red bottoms ain't cheap. You got to start putting away. You can't walk up in the store and say, oh, let me have them red bottoms. Oh, but I only got $5. No, you got to plan to be a blessing. Come on, somebody. You got to live your life planning to be a blessing. Because when you plan to bless somebody, it shows you love somebody. And it makes your love believable. Somebody say, Lord, help my love be believable. Can I give you one more? Can you handle one more? John 10:28 said, I hope y'all write these scriptures down, because if you ever feel like you ain't loved, or he ain't loving you right, or she ain't loving you right, you get these scriptures out and say, but God loved me. And I know, ain't no doubt in my mind. You might be wondering if Tyrone or Sheila or Lisa love you, but ain't no doubt in your mind if God love you, because I'm giving you a scripture. John 10:28, and I, read it with me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of. Is that believable? Don't you want to be with somebody who ain't going to never turn their back on you? Why should I give to somebody who's questionable? Look at this one. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? I'm going to sit next to you, innocent, just preach from this seat. How in the world? He says he gave up his own son, and so that he, through him, I'm going to give you whatever it is you, let me sit over here with you. Where you at? Sit right here. Let me, I'm going to let you, so y'all, look, in other words, I'm going to give you, what does freely mean? It ain't going to cost you nothing. It ain't costing you nothing to love me. It shouldn't cost me to love you. And when you give gifts to people, you should not cry about what it cost. Amen. If you love them. When they sent me that bill, I cannot cry about the cost, because the value of the woman is worth more than the dinner. Y'all got it backwards. Instead of taking pictures, selfies of the food, you ought to take the selfie of the person at the table. Because the value is not the food. The value is the person. Woo! You gotta. When I start living, I start freely giving. You hear what I'm saying? Ain't nobody making me be here this morning. I'm here because I love to preach the word. I love you. I love you. Well, I ain't going unless I get some donuts. Charles ate all of them up. I ain't going unless they give me VIP parking. I ain't going. No, I'm here freely.
Amen.
I said that was the last one, but I think I got two more. First John 3:1, read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Woo! Have you ever looked at somebody's house or gift or car or some piece of merchandise and you can tell that's theirs because you know them? I'm telling you, people should know that you're the children of God, even though they don't know him. Because your gift should radiate who gave it to you. Ah, oh, God. So whether people know him or not, listen, you don't have to be saved for me to come to your baby shower. You don't have to be saved for me to shoot the hoops with you. You just need to be able to believe that I'm here in love. All right, I'm running out of time. I ain't gonna make it. So John 3:16 says very clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at the text. God so loved. That's how it starts. If you're going to be in a relationship, let it start with love. It can't start with the amount. It can't start with the money. It's got to start with whether you love. And let me tell you something. You meet somebody for the first time, you don't love them the first time. But who do you love? God. Here's what I discovered about loving. God so loved. Well, who did he love? He loved the world. Oh, no, I only love black people. I only love white people. I only love brown people. I only love rich people. I only love poor people. No, he loves the world. That's the wrong with you. You're only giving gifts to certain people. And you're only people. I only give to people who give back to me. Oh, wait a second. Come on. You got to give even when it hurts. You got to give when people reject you. You got to give because, listen, God gives his love to the world. And every day somebody rejects it. But guess what? He going to wake up tomorrow. Well, he don't sleep. But tomorrow, when we wake up, what's he going to do? He going to give it again. Woo! He going to keep on reject me. Keep on offering. Reject me. Keep on offering. Amen. He gave, right? Yeah. He loved the world that he gave. If you love, you got to give. Amen. Right? If you love, you got to give. Ain't no excuse. If you go all week and you don't give nothing, you're not a lover. You're not a lover. A lover gives. Well, I ain't got nothing to give. Yes, you do. You should have given yourself to open that door for her. Amen. You should have given yourself to turn the light on when they was coming home late. You should have given to straighten up your neighbors, your coworkers' desks before they got in. You should have given by calling somebody and saying, God loves you, been thinking about you. I'm going to stop by this weekend and just say hi. You should get, come on, take somebody to Chipotle next week. Take them to Chipotle. Buy them. And I don't even like Chipotle, but take them. In other words, just show your love. He gave what? His only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but that they would have everlasting life. But how does this translate for us? You got to understand this. He says, listen, when you give your gift, number one, is it out of love? Is it out of love? Is it without respect? Is it without respect? Do you only give it? When you wake up today and say, I'm only going to be nice to people who are nice to me. Am I only going to? No, you can't do that. Is it a gift Is it a gift? In other words, do you want anything back from it? That's what we ought to say. Just give. Don't worry about what's coming. Because listen, if you give into God and you love God, I guarantee you his love is going to reciprocate in kind. I give because I love. Is it a gift? It's just a gift. I don't want to. Kevin, I don't want to. I don't want you. I'm not giving you this, honey, because I want you to come pick me up. I'm just. It's just a gift. Isn't that what a gift is?
Yeah.
A gift is here. Here. No strings attached, right? Is it the only one of its kind? That's what I want to get to. Is it the Bible said he gave his only begotten. Why? Why did God ask Abraham give up Isaac? He had Ishmael. Why didn't he ask for Ishmael? Because Isaac was the son of promise. He was the only one of promise. What are you giving up? That is the one of its kind. You gave everybody a blue pen. You gave everybody a card with your picture on it. What'd you give Mike? That was one of a kind. In other words, when you give me the only, when I get the only, well, I'm the onlyest one who got that. I can picture Autumn saying that. I can picture Autumn is there. I'm the onlyest one who got this. Pastor Chair gave me the blue bowl with my name on it. That's what he gave. It's the only one. Doesn't it make her feel?
Amen.
Oh, come on. I'm saying, won't you live your life and give to people the only one of its kind for them? You know everybody else is giving them, sending them texts and saying, hi, how you doing? Send them chicken. Send them a vase. Send them something. I want to be the only one of this kind. Guess what? When you see something that is not normal, it creates interest. Come on, somebody. I'm saying live your life. In other words, I told you, just stop throwing gifts out. Think about it. And do one and make it hit. If I could just do this one thing right this week, I know that what I did is believable. Because I thought about it. So it's got to be one of kind. Is there a purpose for giving it? The Bible said he gave his only begotten son so that. I'm doing this so that whosoever what?
Believe it.
I told you, my giving is to make people believable.
Right.
That's why I'm giving.
Amen.
I'm giving on 2nd Street on Tuesday so somebody can believe God.
Amen.
I'm going to give to my enemy who's trying to destroy me.
Amen.
Because it's going to make my gospel believable. I'm going to give to the person who tried to get me in trouble with my boss.
Amen.
I'm going to bring them a latte.
Amen.
From Starbucks. Next week, I'm going to say, here, on me. All right, you don't know what they drink. Then get them this gift certificate from Starbucks and say, here, I'm just trying to be nice. Why? Because it makes your gospel believable. Come on, somebody. I'm going to do something for you. And you don't even deserve it. Why? Because it makes my gospel believable. I'm going to forgive my wife, even though I know I won the argument. But I'm going to let her have it because it makes my gospel, cat dog it, believable. Woo! I'm going to show somebody that you can tear me down, but you don't have the power to lift me up. So I'm going to do it in spite of what you did because it makes my gospel believable. Because you believe you put me in the grave, but you didn't read the story. After 3 days, he rose again. Come on, somebody. You will never lose by being a blessing to somebody else. Come on, somebody say, make your love intentional. Make it intentional. Is there a purpose? And this is the last thing I got for you. This is the last thing he says. Will the gift give something? Uh-oh, wait. So I know I'm giving the gift, but in the transfer of the gift, will the gift give something? It's got to be able to give something beyond whatever that gift is. Is there something that happens? The Bible says he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes on him would what? Would not
perish,
but oh, so the gift gives life. Ooh. Listen, when your gift gives something to somebody, it makes the gift and the giver more believable. But if your gift don't do nothing, try giving a foot massage to somebody, and when they put the foot massage and plug it in and it don't work, they gonna have something to say about the foot massager and the person who gave it to them. But if you give them the foot massage and they put their foot in that massage, if they make that foot massage, if they feet, if they live like they walking on clouds after that, they got something good to say about, ooh, who made this? Sony? Sony made, ooh, that's it. And then they got something, ooh, where did you find it? You got good taste in gift. Ooh, all I need to know is that you like my gift. What does that mean? I'm going to get you something else. Because every time I give, it makes my gospel believable. And the beauty of it is, every time I give a good gift to somebody and they like it, God gives me a good gift that I like. That's how I live, off of royalties, residuals. Every time I preach and y'all, somebody get blessed, somebody's house gets blessed, somebody start sinning, somebody start doing something better with their life, guess what? The Lord come knock on my back door. Hey, son. Good job. I got something for you. You know that little book you wanted? You know that little, oh, let me just be real. You know that house you wanted with that big old view? Yeah. Here's what I like about the text. The Bible said, he said, I gave it so that whoever believes would not perish. What? Ooh. So every time I give a good gift, it sustains life. Oh, it keeps the relationship living. If you keep on giving, if you stop giving, the relationship go. Oh, I guarantee a relationship is trouble is because one person, at least one, stopped giving. If you take away giving to other people, the relationship dies. And if you give, it keeps it. Oh. What do they say when the heart is about to stop? We need to give it something. We need to give it oxygen. We need to get it blood. We need to get it something. Listen, if something in your life is dying or choking, somebody stop giving. We often say that God gave his only son. We say, oh, God gave us his son. But no, he gave us two things. He gave us his son and he gave us his life. His gift gave us something. He gave us his son and his gift gave us eternal life. That's how you should give it. So there's no doubt that he loved us enough to give. But there is doubt that our love to him can sometimes be questioned. God gave everything to us. Everything to us. But let somebody ask us to give. Yeah, I gotta go pick up the kids at 2. But can you, Sharice, can you go get them? Can you, when we start finding all kind of, no, I can't be there. I can't get there at 10 now, but I get there, the traffic was bad, y'all. It's something, I got to, football game is on. That's the Raiders. The Raiders got to come on. Why they come on at 10? That same time as church. Why the game come on at 10? Can I record? I'm going to record it. Can you record the game for me? We got all kinds of excuses. But you say you love God. What if God say, well, I'm not going to wake you up because I got to take care of these fires over here in Northern California. I got to take care of these people who are sick in hospital from the Las Vegas shooter. So I can't quite come to your house today. I can't help your mother in this. I can't do nothing for her because, you know, I'm just a little bit. God doesn't do that to us. The last scripture in John 3:21 says, read it with me. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Don't you want your acts to be clearly seen in God? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Because you did it in truth. And truth is love. And many of you sat here today thinking I was talking about the money you give. God never showed his love by giving you money. Never showed his love by giving you money. He shows his love by giving himself. That's how he demonstrated it to you. It's hard to say you love somebody, though, and you never take them to dinner. It's hard to say you love them and you never do something special. If you have to question the money in the relationship you're in, then you shouldn't be in that relationship. Whenever the argument about our relationship narrows down to the dollar amount, if you got to question why you want to love me or why you want to bless me or why I need to love you or bless you and quantify it with a dollar amount, it's not a relationship, because relationships start with love. Amen. Our final scripture today just says, make sure that your giving is real. Amen. Make sure you do it from the right heart. Amen. So do yourself a favor. Reduce the size of your nose. Pinocchio. Reduce the size of your nose. Change the way you give and what you give. And when you start doing that, your life suddenly becomes more believable. Amen. I'm PC. Amen. And that's all I got.